And I'm Dan Novak.
This is VOA News. I'm Richard Green. U.S. President Joe Biden and his South Korean counterpart Yoon Suk-yeol toasted the two countries' ironclad partnership Wednesday night.
We stand at an inflection point, many of you have heard me say before, where the decisions we make now are going to determine the course of our future for decades to come. But I've never been more optimistic, and I mean it, I've never been more optimistic about our nations, what we can achieve together if we continue to work together as allies and as friends.
President Yoon and his wife Kim Kyung-hee joined President Biden and his wife Jill at a state dinner in the East Room of the White House. Yoon's trip marks the 70th anniversary of the U.S.-South Korea Security Alliance, as well as the first state visit to the U.S. by a South Korean leader since 2011. Earlier Wednesday, Biden announced an agreement with South Korea that would give the key U.S. ally a bigger role in nuclear weapons planning over any conflict with North Korea. Reuters correspondent Chris Dignam reports.
In a press conference at the White House with South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, Biden directed a warning at North Korea, which continues to grow its arsenal of missiles and bombs.
Look, a nuclear attack by North Korea against the United States or its allies or partisans or partners is unacceptable and will result in the end of whatever regime were to take such an action.
The announcement includes a renewed pledge by South Korea not to pursue a nuclear weapons program of its own. Officials said the U.S. will give South Korea more insights into and a voice in U.S. contingency planning to deter and respond to any nuclear incident in the region.
That was Reuters correspondent Chris Dignam. Biden and Yoon also announced that a U.S. nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarine will visit South Korea for the first time since the 1980s. This is VOA News. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives have narrowly passed a sweeping debt ceiling package as they try to push President Biden into negotiations on federal spending. Here's Reuters correspondent Ryan Brooks.
The vote was a win for Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who hopes to lure Biden into negotiations on cutting spending.
He's putting the American economy in jeopardy by his lack of action.
The bill proposed would increase Washington's borrowing authority by $1.5 trillion, or until March 31st next year, whichever comes first, potentially setting up another debt showdown ahead of next election. It would also slash spending to 2022 levels, cap growth at 1% a year, repeal some tax incentives for renewable energy, and stiffen work requirements for some anti-poverty programs.
That was Reuters correspondent Ryan Brooks. The White House and congressional Democrats have been insisting on a debt limit increase with no strings attached. If Congress fails to act, the U.S. Treasury Department could run out of ways to pay its bills in a matter of weeks. On Thursday, South Africans of all races celebrate the 29th anniversary of Freedom Day, a public holiday marking the country's first democratic elections. The day is mostly associated with the black majority, who were disenfranchised under the apartheid regime. But another minority group, Chinese South Americans, were also denied voting rights. Kate Bartlett in Johannesburg has the story.
Over a four-day period in April 1994, the world watched as millions of South Africans cast their ballots in the first elections where all races were allowed to participate. Prior to that, under the racist apartheid system, only members of South Africa's white minority could vote, disenfranchising not only the black majority, but all other non-whites, including the country's small Chinese population. Things have changed a lot for the Chinese here since the dark days of the apartheid era. Now, as well as having the vote, a handful of Chinese South Africans have even run for office in the Democratic Rainbow Nation. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg.
In sports, the New York Knicks are advancing to the second round of the National Basketball Association playoffs. AP correspondent Dave Ferry has the story.
The Knicks earned a 106-95 win over the Cavaliers for their first playoff series victory in 10 years. Jalen Brunson scored 23 points, and R.J. Barrett had 21 for New York, which captured the last three games of the five-game set. Brunson averaged 24 points in the series, leading the Knicks in scoring for all four wins. Mitchell Robinson added 18 boards for the Knicks, who played the second half without Julius Randle after he aggravated an ankle injury. Donovan Mitchell led all scorers with 28 points, and Darius Garland had 21 for the Cavaliers. I'm Dave Ferry.
I'm Richard Green for VOA News.